43 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
We know sports. We are the Roar.
Two out of bounds. William Quagamus, Kelly Gramley, appreciate you joining us here on a Wednesday. We do have Hump Day headlines. Will Vandervoort at 2:05. For now, we're camping out in whatever the most miserable sporting fan experience that you've had in your life. We're camping out in that place because the Reedy River's overflowing and it continues to rain, and that's just where we are right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, 654 Roar's a number. We've gotten a ton of texts on this. We appreciate those of you who have already gotten in on the Health Air text line, 961-566. Anything we haven't mentioned yet, Kelly, that people are bringing up now on the text line?
Yes, we've got a few more to mention here, and then we're going to go back to the phones. From the 864, texter says, USC 2006 in Death Valley. Spiller goes out with an injury on the last drive, and we have to settle for a field goal to send it to OT. We missed that field goal. I cried.
Yep.
That's tough.
That was,
man.
I want to say that was the Reggie, where Reggie Merriweather was getting the ball, and then James Davis, they took Reggie out, and the crowd was chanting his name. And they ended up, like you say, settling for a field goal and missed it. I can see it very clearly because we were sitting about at the hash toward Clemson sideline in the West End Zone that game. And it felt like Reggie was just running right down the hash and like right for us. And then they brought Davis back in and the thing stalled. And then Jad Dean missed a field goal. He was good that year, too.
All right. How about this one? I'm going to get the exact year for you, hopefully. We'll see. And you probably can tell me the exact year. Early 2000s, Clemson versus TCU in Clemson. Andy Dalton was the quarterback. Poured rain for the majority of the game. Clemson lost by 3, if I remember correctly. That's Adam in Greenville.
That was, I believe that was 09. I can, let me look at that. I'm pretty sure that was 09. Because that was, if I'm not mistaken, these are the conversations where we started dating things and mixing stuff up like I did with the 2004 Georgia Tech game.
09, yes, it was 09.
I believe there were two consecutive games with lightning delays. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, Boston College, 2009, Clemson 125-7. I believe that game had a lightning delay. And I think, Kelly, that Boston College had negative rushing yards that game.
Was 09 the year it rained every single game?
Yeah.
Basically, every home game.
And TCU, there was a lightning delay. And the go-ahead touchdown for TCU, what the ball is so slick and everything is so slick, it bounces off, I think it was a receiver's hands. It bounces off hands, goes over all the defense, goes over all the defenders, and into the waiting arms of a TCU receiver for a touchdown. One of the luckiest touchdowns that I've seen in a game. But that was the winning touchdown there with Andy Dalton, the great ginger. The quarterback there for TCU. Now, that's true, and that's a very good point, texter.
Triple texter, also another texter. I'm just bringing up ones we haven't talked about. Triple OT loss to Miami, 2005.
You know, I'll be honest. I didn't hate that one because Miami was still Miami then.
Okay.
And that was also the Charles Bennett sack that broke the sound record. That game was like, I wish that they would have won. In fact, that game was right after the Boston College game where David Dunham decapitated Matt Ryan, which made the rounds thanks to Woody Wires.
I saw that. That was I've seen that before, but that was ridiculous.
You saw what I'm talking about, though.
Yes,
I don't even know physics works like that.
Right.
So those two games were back to back in 05, and I remember being way more bummed about the BC game in 05 because nobody knew who Matt Ryan was than I was about losing a Miami game. I was just glad that we were in the game with Miami.
A texter gets in with as a South Carolina fan, he says, 2014 South Carolina at Tennessee. I remember this. When Tennessee throws a Hail Mary down the sideline to set up a game-winning field goal to blow our year, South Carolina was on track for 11-1, possibly an SEC championship. That's from the 864.
I had forgotten about that game. Whew. That's tough, especially where South Carolina is now. Boy, if you capitalize on that game, if you can salt that one away, imagine. I mean, already that was a great year, but imagine the kind of year that you might have had.
There are so many Boston College texts. I'll be monitoring the text line, but we can get back to the phone.
Let's go to Thirsty Mangus, who joins us next on this conversation. What's up, Thirsty?
Quack, I hear you talking painful sports memories on this rainy day, and you know I can take up the next hour if you want to talk South Carolina.
Go for it.
You know, there's a couple that really stand out. You know, you just mentioned the one-handed Tennessee catch by the true freshman that just had absolutely no business catching that ball. It ruined that season, a potential. We would have been in Atlanta. They're not potentially. We would have been in Atlanta. The year before that, the game, Garcia lost his job in the 13-9 snooze fest loss at home to Auburn in the ugliest jerseys in the history of college football. Everything was wrong about that game, and, you know, it sticks out as a painful memory. I mean, those were two incredible rosters when you look back at them, and, you know, just complete head-scratching, you know, painful losses. Another one that stands out, Quag, is the Citadel. You know, in a season of how can this get worse, you know, Spurrier steps aside, you know, and the season just goes off the rails to the point where we're starting a 5-7 walk-on named Perry Earth. You know, what many people forget about the Citadel game, though, is, you know, as we were sitting there with about 20 seconds left and just kind of processing that, yes, it is actually getting worse, we had the ball on the 10-yard line, and Farrell Cooper had a 90-yard touchdown that actually would have won the game and was called back on illegal formation. And you just want to talk about a knife wound to the chest. I don't think many people remember that. I think y'all are just busy celebrating the headline.
It's true.
But Cooper had a 90-yard touchdown with under a minute left in that game that got called back on a formation penalty. So those stand out. Quark, another underrated one I think that South Carolina fans will appreciate is the year before we went to the Final Four in basketball. We actually had a better team that year, I think. We had Carrera. And the two Lithuanians in the post were better than, you know, Silva as a freshman and Kotsar as a freshman. And we had that core of guards. And we came into the SEC tournament with a 25-win team. And all I think we had all to do is win a game or two. And we lost to a no-name, scrub-filled Georgia team by 1 point and proceeded to get snubbed out of the tournament, which would have been our first, you know, appearance in 10 years, first potential win in 40 years. So those really stand out to me, Quark. And again, I could fill another hour with Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky and Clemson and Bama and Auburn and LSU. And, oh, God, you remember Arkansas destroying us for that decade? Those are fun.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, we can run through the list of SEC teams if you want. But those are the ones that stick out to me. Quark, have a good one.
All right, thanks very much, Thirsty. We appreciate it. There is not a South Carolina fan. I know one home game. There is not a South Carolina fan in attendance at the push-off game that wouldn't say the push-off game. The Woody Dancer, Rod Gardner, Hail Mary.
Yes, we've had a few texts about that one from the South Carolina perspective.
There's no way. And I can tell you that there are about five of those games from the Clemson perspective.
Do you think that one's worse than the Citadel? It's two different types of pain,
Kelly,
I think.
It is like the randomness of I went to Atlanta as a Reds fan and watched my team blow a 6-run lead, and I watched them just totally collapse in the night. Francisco Cordero will always be a curse word in our family because of that day. And, you know, for the two sucky seasons that surrounded that day, that he was the alleged closer of a team that would have been, you know, could have won 95 games a year if not for him. But here's the thing. When you're a South Carolina fan, the game is over in Memorial Stadium against a very good Clemson team that won a lot of games that year. It's over. It's a Hail Mary to the sideline. He threw it 60 yards. And all of a sudden, like 2 minutes of real time later, they're walking off with a field goal. I mean, that is different. The Citadel loss is total embarrassment. But that team was already bad, and it was also in your home stadium, so you can all gripe together. I could not imagine. I was at that game with some South Carolina fans that were sitting in our seats with us. I cannot imagine walking away from Memorial Stadium that night as a South Carolina fan. I could not imagine it because people didn't leave, really. People weren't leaving en masse. So it was 80,000 people filing out, and you're like the few thousand South Carolina fans filing out that had the game and lost it. That's got to be the most. If I was a South Carolina fan and I was there, that'd be number one.
That one's worse. I guess one is more embarrassing, one's more heartbreaking, you could say.
Oh, yeah. And way harder to live down. And it feels like you should have had it. You
I
know?
Think the Citadel's harder to live down.
I mean, now it probably is. Because nobody's really talking smack about that. That year.
All you have to do is say two words, the Citadel. And every single South Carolina fan knows exactly what you're talking about.
If I was a South Carolina fan, I think it would be easier to shrug off the Citadel just because, yeah, we were bad. You just say, yeah, we were bad. I mean, 3-9. Like, let's say they even beat the Citadel. They go 4-8. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Like, they were just bad. Beating Clemson at Clemson and having them beat and losing the game on a Hail Mary? God, that would have been, I'm serious, that would have been the worst. If the Citadel was bad too, I'm not gonna say otherwise. Let's go to Bill, who's up with us next. 654 Roars the number. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how's it going?
Going good, man.
This one got mentioned, but I was at the Duke game in 2004 when we lost to snap like their 5-season ACC losing streak.
Oh yeah,
Clemson was coming off. I think we beat Miami at Miami the week before. And I was in the drumline, and the football team had actually requested that the full band go to Duke to bring, like, a real game day atmosphere there. And some kicker for Duke, whose career long was, like, 38 yards, nailed a 55-yarder to win the game. And I'll never forget sitting in that little high school stadium and watching, like, 20 students run out on the field and try to tear the goalpost down. And after, like, 10 minutes, a cop went out there and chased them away because they didn't have enough students at the game to successfully tear down the goalpost. I think they were actually all in line. It was like their exhibition basketball game that night. That was probably the low point for me as a Clemson fan.
That's an excellent low point. I appreciate the phone call, Bill. Thank you. Bill makes a good point there. That game against Duke, that was a bomb. I'm pretty sure I listened to that on the radio. I'm not even sure it was on TV. I really am not sure. That season for Clemson was horrible. That was like right off of 2003. This is a classic Tommy Bowden era. Right off of 2003, 63-17, you beat Florida State, you beat Tennessee in the Peach Bowl. Everything's supposed to go well. They start 1-4. They lost by multiple scores at A&M, at Florida State, at Virginia. At A&M was when it was 100 degrees and there was no AC on the bus and like basically sabotage. They're 1-4. They battle back to get to 5 wins, and all you got to do is win at Duke to get your 6th win. And then you lose that game right after you win at Miami, like you talked about. And then you beat South Carolina in the brawl game and end up not going to a bowl anyway. 6-5 that year. So that one, again, that one pretty tough. Let's go to Mike, who's up with us next. 654 Roars the number. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I want to say one, blood runs orange. That's all I got to say. And the worst in-person game I ever experienced actually was a win by Clemson. And this, to put this in perspective, I was at the Matty Ice game where Boston College beat us at the last to, hit that long pass down the left-hand side and ended up keeping us from going to the ACC championship. So this win was actually worse than that loss. 1985 in September, I had a good friend call me and say, "Hey, I've got an extra ticket. I want you to come to Blacksburg, Virginia with us. We got Vatek tickets and we want you to come." And I'm like, I don't have any money. He said, "Don't worry. I'm going to take care of everything." What I didn't understand is that they had decided to pick me because I did not drink and they needed someone to drive the van that they rented. And here we go up with a lot of adult beverages being consumed on the way up that winding road to Blacksburg. Excuse me. So we get up there, park in a field 14 miles away from the stadium, which is kind of in a hole anyway. So we go there and we're enjoying it. We're all emblazoned in orange, and we're in a section with a lot of that ugly maroon color. And so it comes down to the last, and we're driving down, and we have a chance to win the game with a last-second kick. The hike, the kick, it falls short. Vatek goes crazy. Flag on the field. Moves us 5 yards closer. The hike, the kick, miss. The crowd goes crazy. Flag on the field. No time on the clock. Treadwell kicks it, first time ever, kicks it just over the crossbar, no time on the clock, 2017, Clemson wins. I'm emblazoned in orange, surrounded by maroon, with a bunch of drunken idiots that I have to get out, crowd out to this van in a field surrounded by Vatek fans and get them down the hill without ending up in the jail or the hospital.
Ooh.
So needless to say, white knuckle drive all the way back. So even though I was there at the crushing defeat of Matty Ice, that win was far worse.
You know, I got to say, Mike, the way you just regaled us with that incredible tale, I think you're right. I think that win was worse. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Kelly, it takes a lot for a man to admit that a win was worse than all the losses, including the worst loss ever. That was a terrible experience. It had to be.
Somehow this show has been fun, but yes, everyone's just talking about terrible times in their lives.
That I'm looking back at that 85 season. That's probably a forgotten season in the Danny Ford era where Clemson started 1-3. If that had been a tie with Virginia Tech, if it had been 17-17 and they had tied, they would have gone 5-5-1. They lost their bowl game and ended up 6-6. They would have been 5-5-1 that year. Not great. Not great. And they didn't play a single ranked team in that whole schedule. Interesting stuff. Tell you what, we got a couple more phone calls, but we'll go ahead and take a break, and we come back. We'll get back to the phones. We still have Humpty headlines. We have a few updates from the Board of Trustees meeting. Some of that is still coming out and still being fleshed out. Will Vandenbort's going to give us that update at 2:05. Stay with us. More to come on Abounds in a moment.
For now, Joe's New York Pizza is open Tuesday through Sunday, 4 to 8. Joe's can't thank you enough for your unwavering support and looks forward to seeing you back in both the Seneca and Clemson locations as soon as possible. In the meantime, check out the great daily specials Joe's has waiting for you on their Facebook page, like buy one, get one free pizzas on Tuesdays. Already a huge success. It's all about the sauce. And most importantly, it's all about you, the loyal Joe's New York Pizza customers. Thank you for your support.
Let's face it. Credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I order takeout, use my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. The process is all online. You never have to leave the house. And you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Apply today at lightstream.com/discount and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/discount for an additional discount. lightstream.com/discount.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/discount for more information.
George Coleman Ford is offering big savings right now with great financing packages. All new 2020 models, excluding Super Duties, are available with 0% interest for 72 months. And your first payment isn't due for 120 days. There are never any hidden fees at the dealership with multiple President's Awards. George Coleman Ford, four generations doing business right. George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Offer good with proof credit with finance through Ford Motor Credit.
At Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, four lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, we're throwing in four Samsung Galaxy phones on us. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with AutoPay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Big Zach. Jack's Fireworks in Anderson is having a huge Memorial Day sale now through Monday. Get all your favorite fireworks to celebrate Memorial Day weekend. Big Zach's has plenty of fireworks at their two convenient locations, both right off Highway 85 in Anderson, 4604 Clemson Boulevard, and 4512 Highway 81. Big Zach's carries all the latest fireworks as well as your traditional favorites. Celebrate Memorial Day weekend and light up the sky at Big Zach's Memorial Day sale now through Monday.
More live local sports than cars on Woodruff Road. You're listening to The Roar.
It started way back in third grade.
Hour two continues out of bounds. William Quagamus, Kelly Graham. Look, let's go back to the Northeast Communication phone lines here. 654 Roars and number. We appreciate you getting in with your worst, most crushing sports defeats that you've seen in person. That has been a popular topic today, so we'll continue with that here in this segment. Jerry is up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. You want to join him there? What's up, Jerry?
How are you doing?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Don't remember the year. I've been lucky enough to be a part of some better wins and losses. But this was back in the 80s. That's all I remember. I remember South Carolina was pretty good. We weren't as good. And we had a chance to beat them, kicking a field goal, I think. And we ran off the field. We had too many people, but we ran off on the wrong sideline, if I remember correctly. Again, I'm a little bit older now. I may forget the year. But maybe some other callers that remember, and then they went on to win the game because of that. I'm not sure whether it was a field goal, but we ran off the field. We had too many people, but either we ran off the wrong side or we didn't get back into the designated place.
Was that a home game or an away game, Jerry?
It was a home game. It was in Memorial Stadium. That's back in the day when you had the crown on the field. So back in the day. And, of course, today, with the weather outside, we were at the TCU game, and my wife had kind of told me, she said, are you crazy for going to the game, taking my son, who was younger at the time? And I said, well, we're not going to get wet at the game, and we didn't. But going back to our cars before we parked, we got absolutely soaked for this kind of day like today. And then he got sick, and you can imagine I didn't get into it for about a week.
Ooh.
But again, I've been lucky to be a part of more wins than losses as far as crushing. So Notre Dame on this day kind of remind you, Notre Dame fans, welcome to Clemson with the rain. We still haunt you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. We appreciate it. That's a good memory. You know, we're in the monsoon. We're all in our houses. We're staying at home. We're hunkered down. We were in the rain during a Notre Dame game. We came out in weather like this, you know?
That's right.
Really, really interesting to make that sort of connection there. I did look this up. It's got to be 1984 that Jerry's talking about. Clemson lost 22-21 to South Carolina. They were ranked ninth in the country. That, I think, is the only game that was close enough at home that Clemson lost in the 90s. They tied in 86 at home. And I'm trying to look up maybe 88. 88 was 29-10. They won. So I'm going to assume it was 1984 is what he's referring to there. Let's go to Delvin, who's up with us next. What's up, Delvin?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Well, I got a couple games. All I got to say is two words, Wayne Ellington game. That's how I got to say in basketball. I remember that game against North Carolina.
Yep.
That was heartbreaking, man. That was heartbreaking. Wayne Ellington. And the other one is, he just mentioned it, TCU game with the Red Rifle and the Dalton game. And
golly.
Those two games I went to in person. Those two games hurt, man. But definitely a basketball game, man, Wayne Ellington.
I think that was the most crushing basketball defeat that I've seen. In person, it was the Wayne Ellington shot, because you knew North Carolina was good that year, and Clemson played him really well two other times, and obviously went on to win the national championship, but you really thought you could get him there and didn't. Delvin, those are two good ones. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
thanks very much.
Yeah, third time I called, guys.
Absolutely. Let's go to Ed, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Kwok and Kelly. You may have already talked about these. I know you talked about Reggie Merriweather getting yanked from that game. And that was the moment for me personally. I'm still griping about that all these years later. That was the moment for me. As great of a guy as Tommy Bowden is, that's the moment I was ready for him to go. That was one of those games any football fan could see that Reggie was carrying that team on his back, and he would not go down. And to pull him and put in, I guess it was Davis, wasn't it? What you said, James Davis?
Yes, it was James Davis that went back in.
Yeah, and like I said, Merriweather would not be tackled that day. He would have gone in that end zone. There's no doubt in my mind. But probably the worst memory I have for a game personally, and today's a great example. My wife and I, it was the Syracuse Gator Bowl. Have you guys talked about that, like 96?
We mentioned it briefly back, I think, at the bottom of the hour there.
It was miserable. My wife and I rarely went to ball games at that time. And she was pregnant with our first child, and she does not like to leave a game early, winning or lose. And it rained. And apparently I did not pay attention to Syracuse much that year because I had never heard of Donovan McNabb and Marvin Harrison, and they lit us up. That was a miserable game. I think we got skunked. Didn't we, if I remember right?
Oh, yeah. It was 40, I believe it was 41-0.
Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah. We've had a lot of people getting in with that one.
Yes, that was absolutely my worst memory ever. Because, again, I had not paid attention to Syracuse, I guess. And honestly, I think I expected this to go down there and, you know, beat up on Syracuse Orange Man. How tough could an Orange Man be? That was a rough one.
I don't blame you. A lot of folks have been getting in with that. Like Kelly said, Ed, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. That 95 Syracuse team, they lost to East Carolina by 3. They were in the Big East. They lost East Carolina by 3. They were 1-1. They won at North Carolina, lost East Carolina. They won 7 in a row, lost at Miami by 11, and then beat Clemson by 41 in that bowl game.
We've had I would argue, besides the punt Ruski, that's been a really big one. And besides the Boston College, which year was the BC game? 05?
07.
07, 07. The Syracuse one has been maybe the more popular one. And not the Syracuse you would think of. 1996 Syracuse. Not 2017 Syracuse. We had just one person tweet at me about 2017 Syracuse. It's a picture of him in front of the Carrier Dome, or like in the Carrier Dome right on the field, and he looks miserable. And he said it was the longest ride home. They drove from Nichols, South Carolina to Syracuse.
Oh.
Longest ride home and the most obnoxious fan base was Syracuse. I'm surprised that game hasn't been mentioned. And maybe it's because less people went, but that is one that was tough to get over because of how it happened and because that Syracuse team ended up being so bad that year. 4-8, I believe, was their record. That was a tough one to swallow. I'm surprised that one hasn't been mentioned more.
I think the reason for that is because the season still ended up being pretty good. You still made the playoff. You still, I mean, it seemed like you weren't going to win a national championship that year in hindsight. So it doesn't make you feel like you missed out on stuff. The BC game in 07, you missed the division. You know, you missed the conference championship game. That would have been the first division title. And so that was crushing. You felt like you missed out on something big there. It does seem like those are the kind of things. Either you couldn't beat this team, and so, you know, they were sort of a thorn in your side, or you felt like you had the game, and so you got this win, and it's ripped right from you. Some tangible thing about the season's taken from you in that game, or some, you know, bragging rights or something like that, and some freakish thing. And that Syracuse game, just in hindsight, yes, it was bad. It was a really bad loss. It's almost like not a ton of people pointing out, and maybe I'm wrong about this, the 2016 Pittsburgh game. How much have people pointed that out?
No, we haven't seen that one. And that was I mentioned that one. Florida State and Pittsburgh were the two that came to me initially.
And you're not wrong for mentioning that, because that was a loss that you shouldn't have had at home in a season that you shouldn't have lost anybody. But you still end up winning a national championship. And so it didn't keep you from something. And I think that's sort of a common thread among a lot of these is it either felt like you were kept from something, or in the case of the Syracuse game or the West Virginia Orange Bowl or something like that, you're at the end of the season and you get thumped so hard that it makes you wish that you didn't even qualify for the game. Those are tough. Anyway, 654-ROY is the number you want to get in on this. Kelly, this has been a great topic. Any other ones you want to point out from the Health Air text line? We've got a ton of calls, actually, on this, and we'll continue to get to. Let's go to Hank, who's up with us next, and we'll get back to the Health Air text line as well. What's up, Hank?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, this one is not really a crushing defeat in that and we got killed, but was one that we thought we had and ended up losing. That was the UConn game in the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 maybe. Was it Tate George turnaround jumper 1 second to go, 1.1 on the clock?
That is correct.
Remember that?
I was one, so I don't, but... I feel like in basketball that is about the most crushing loss that Clemson's ever had as a basketball program.
I was at R.C. Edwards Middle School at the time as a middle school student, and I had been going on all day with a friend who was a big UConn fan how we were going to beat them, and he didn't think we had a chance, and so I called him with 1.1 seconds to gloat on the phone, and then just had to kind of eat the words. Still don't understand how you can jump up, catch a ball, come down, do a turnaround jumper with 1.1 on the clock, but that was amazing.
Hank, that's a good bad memory, Hank. We appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yes, sir.
Love it. That is an interesting play, too, because you know who the inbounder was on that play for UConn in 1990? Kelly, do you have any idea?
Who? I don't know.
It is a name that people generally just do not think of, but now they know. Scott Burrell.
Scott Burrell. No
Scott
way.
Scott Burrell was the inbounder that threw the ball down court to Tate George in 1990. Yep. Sure was.
We've had a few texts about that loss as well. That the two main basketball ones are that UConn loss and then the UNC Wayne Ellington loss.
Let's go to Tyler, who's up with us next. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
That's good. So I'm one of your younger callers, I assume. So, of course, I wasn't even thought about for the UConn loss, but unfortunately. But I think my hardest loss was the 2015 National Championship against Alabama, because that was my first year that I really was obsessed with Clemson football. Of course, I haven't fell out of love since. But I just remember that night. I had talked all the trash the day before. Like, I was in middle school at the time. I was in, like, 7th grade or 8th grade, I think. And I was talking trash to everybody, telling them, oh, yeah, we're going to win this. We're going to win this. And I just cried myself to sleep that night. I'm not even going to lie. I was so upset. I was so heartbroken. I felt so bad for the guys because it's so hard to get that far and then to lose. And then a close second, I've got to say, was the Kansas loss in the Sweet 16 a few years ago, because I really thought we had that one there for a few minutes. And then we kind of fell apart when it mattered most. But those were probably my two hardest. I don't know about anyone else, but I don't know. Those are just rough. But, yeah. Thank you all for taking my call, as always.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tyler. We appreciate you getting in with that. You know, for younger fans, I feel like that Kansas Sweet 16 is probably one, just because there haven't been that many.
Well, and you made that frantic comeback at the end, so you thought it was over. Then Clemson makes that comeback, so you have a little hope, and then it's just taken away.
That's right. The other one, I mean, the previous Sweet 16, when he lost to Minnesota, that thing went to overtime, and they were number one seed. Bobby Jackson and Clem Haskins, he was cheating his tail off then. We found out later. He goes to the Elite Eight. Clemson was right there with him with Rick Barnes. That was one. People aren't pointing that out, but it also is the case that was a great team that Clemson wasn't expected to beat. And so I feel like that's another one, is that you're not here. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on this. Have we gotten a lot of 2015 national championship?
We've had a few. I would say it's been a decently popular answer. Mainly the guy who said he drove out there and back. I think if you drove out there, it made it a little worse. But it would feel so different. Quack, arguably, if Clemson had not been back since, that would be everyone's answer, wouldn't it?
Yep.
I get that the punt risky would still hurt, and all these different games would still hurt. But if Clemson had not been back to 5 straight playoffs and won 2 national titles, then nothing would compare to the pain from that 2015 national championship loss.
Dave brings up a good one, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up myself before we go back to the phones. He says, at Quawk Talk on Twitter, How about the Duke basketball loss by Clemson due to clock operator?
I knew that was going to come up. I saw that one on the text line. I just didn't. I didn't know if I wanted to get you to start yelling in hour two. Maybe save it for hour three. You know,
it's fine. You know, Duke is a prestigious elite institution, and I think they're one of the few places in the world where time works differently. And so I'm just going to chalk it up to smart students, great academics. They can change time. Let's go to Michael, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Michael?
I want to bring up the 1984 Clemson-Georgia game. My wife and I were in Atlanta the week before, driving back on Saturday. We had planned to stop over the game and see if we could buy tickets, which we did from a Georgia fraternity person parking in the fraternity house. Walk into the stadium. We were in the upper deck. I don't know which end. Yeah, the one upper deck on the end zone. And surrounded by Georgia people. There were no other Clemson people anywhere in sight. In fact, they asked us as we were coming in if we had cowbells because they had played Mississippi State the week before, and the Mississippi State people had those obnoxious cowbells. We said we did not. But the game went down to the very end, and it was tied. And we had tied the previous year at Clemson, so we thought, okay, here we go, another tie. Kevin Butler hit a 60-yard field goal with virtually no time left on the clock to beat us by three. In fact, on the kickoff, our team did one of the, you know, passing back and forth and failed. But the worst part of the game was coming out of the stands because we're in the upper deck end zone and they had the spiral staircase that you had to go 10 revolutions down the grain level, to ground level. And the whole time, the whole stands were chanting as we were walking down, "Clemson sucks! Clemson sucks! Clemson sucks!" So we had 10 minutes to get out of the stadium with that. So that was one of my worst games.
That has to be horrible, particularly given the freak nature of the way that they won there. That had to be one where you're like, you got to be kidding me. It's like anybody who was at the 2010 Florida State game when Aguayo, I guess, hit the 56-yarder or whatever at the end to win the game. You felt like, well, you got to tip your hat, but it's so dumb. And then, like you say, you got to weave through all the fans there. That's got to be tough. Michael, we appreciate you sharing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thanks very much. That's one that's a little bit weird because you're like, well, I mean, I guess you got to tip your hat, but that's a dumb way to win a game. And then you got to face ridicule on the way out. That's got to stink.
Quack, we just had a mention. We haven't mentioned this one yet, and I know you can talk about this on the other side. A texter gets in and says, a memory that kills me is when the baseball team lost to UConn at home. That ripped my heart out.
That, honestly, I think that is a loss. That Monday night of the regional.
What year was it?
2011.
Right after the 2010 World Series.
Yep. Yeah. Clemson had never lost a home regional, and I think that is a loss from which Clemson baseball has never recovered. Actually, as a fan base, I think the fan base is totally scarred by it. I think the residual effects of it are still felt in the program. That is a loss that still haunts Clemson baseball after a decade. I truly believe that. Let's take a break. On that note, we'll come back and talk more about this. We got a couple of callers on hold. We'll take some more calls. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in a moment.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Yesterday, the NCAA released the APR, the Academic Progress Rate, which is a real-time measurement of eligibility and retention of student-athletes competing on every Division I sports team. Clemson did very well. On a whole, the Clemson department averaged a mark of 989. That's the second best on record, and 12 programs posted multi-year rates above 980. Now, Clemson earned 4 APR Public Recognition Awards last week as baseball, football, and men's cross country and women's golf each earned recognition as ranking in the top 10% of their sport in eligibility, graduation, and retention metric. The football program, though, produced a multi-year program record from the 2015-16 academic year to the 2018-19 year. They posted a 55-4 overall record, of course, won 4 ACC championships and 2 national championships. And I think that they had a 993 APR, as Coach Sweeney says. Athletic success and academic success, they go hand in hand, and we have certainly seen that. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and their showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
Hi, I'm Dabo Sweeney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Listen live anywhere in the world on WCCPFM.com. We are the Roar.
You know, this is a great song for our topic today. We found love in a hopeless place. Maybe that's where we are today. We're taking ourselves back to the hopelessness of the moment in these sporting events that stole our souls and stomped on them in front of our faces as we wept loudly. I feel like that's a great picture of our show today. Hour two continues. Well done, Kelly Graham, like DJ K. Grams. Well done.
I do what I can. Well, at the beginning of hour two, I believe I played Tell Me Something Good, so that was a little harsh.
That is very true. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. If you are at home a lot more than normal, that means you are a person, and because we all are home more than normal these days, and that means that you, above all else, need to make sure that your carpet is clean, that your floors remain the talk of the town. You need to make sure that your family maintains its health during a time when health is our main focus as a society. And that's where Zero Res comes in. They are going to clean your carpets with the same process that has won awards and that remains the envy of the industry. They're going to continue to do that while social distancing to protect their employees and to protect your family. They're going to disinfect their equipment, wash their hands before and after jobs. You're going to practice social distancing, and they're wearing protective gloves, masks, and shoe covers as they work, along with the method that will not attract the dirt and the grime back to your carpets. Right now, you can get 3 rooms of carpet clean for just $129, plus complimentary cleaning and disinfecting and common touch services. Schedule that Zero Res cleaning today. Call 558-7300 or schedule online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Let's go back to the Northern Communication phone lines here. We have Pat and then Craig, who's up with us next on the phone. What's up, Pat?
What's up, Clark? How you doing, man?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
I have a couple of them I actually attended that was crushing to me. The first one was when Clemson played Virginia Tech back in the mid-90s. Virginia Tech was really at the top of the heyday when they was really starting to get really good. And I took my dad, my late dad, we went down there to go see him play. And Clemson, the one of the running backs with Virginia Tech was Lamont Pegues. He came in with Clemson as a freshman. And he played some, but ended up not getting it. It was with the, he was with Priestley, and he ended up, so he transferred to Virginia Tech.
I remember.
And, man, they were pumped. It was so hard to take. They was up like 37-0 at the half. At the half. At Clemson. And I'm still like, I'm sitting there with my dad. It was like, it's burning up in there. And I'm like, oh, Lord, can we please go?
You know what? I had forgotten about that game probably because I expected to lose. It was the 3-8 Tommy West year. That game was a nightmare. I remember this is true. I remember there was a Virginia Tech fan that was sitting like four or five rows in front of us to the left. My family may not be able to tell you. I watched that guy so much. He had a vuvuzela. I didn't know what they were called in 1998. I just called a bugle. He had a vuvuzela. It was the largest instrument I've ever seen in a game. And he blew that vuvuzela the whole game. It was like hours. He stood up and blew that thing. And, I mean, you want to talk about just annoying as crap. That was the most annoying thing. And it wouldn't stop. And, honestly, we had no room to tell him to stop because it was 37-0.
No, we're going to beat down. We're going to beat down. And then that was bad, man. And then when they lost to I was also at the Calvin Johnson catch, man. We couldn't get the 4th-and-1 with Yusef. Mill couldn't get the 4th-and-1. I was at that game, and we was leaving out. And I'm like, this can't be happening. And then we lose that game. And then I was at the Punt Roosie game. I was on the hill. And like I said, it was so crazy. The reason it worked so well because, you know, everybody knows that Clemson knew about the play. But the reason it worked so well because it was time when it happened in the time of the game, it happened. Clemson was like a minute left. Clemson had just forced him to punt. They're on like their own 15 or 20-yard line. So nobody's thinking about a team that's going to try to trick play. But, you know, Bobby Bowden said after the game that, you know, somebody was going to win or lose. But he also knew that Clemson had Donnell Wolford back there to return. And him and Deion Sanders were the top two corners in the country. They were the top two DBs. Deion was one, he was two. And Donnell could return punts really good. And he also knew they had David Treadwell on the sidelines. And David Treadwell, you know, was an All-American kicker at Clemson. And he had won a lot of big games late. And Bobby Bowden knew this, and he played it right. I mean, he played it perfect. And, you know, and then when the play happens, I'm looking at the play, and it had me faked. And then I see Leroy Butler going around the corner, so I'm thinking he's just going to get a first down. I said, oh, Lord, it's going to be a tie. And he was still running. Doug Wilson never caught on, so he was running. It was too late, man. And he was already down the sidelines. And, like, and you leave out the game going, like, what in the world just happened? I can't believe this. You know, and I'm looking at my uncle like, I can't believe this just happened. And he's going out the stadium like, man, this is crushing.
That not the first reference to the Punt Rooski we've had today, Pat. That's been a popular one. And for good reason, frankly, because all the stuff he just said.
But I'll give you two more right quick. The basketball was one. The 1 second play, I was watching that game, and it was hard to tape because Clemson had came so far from back to you know, take the lead. But the two baseballs I have is the Texas A&M loss in the regional, super regional, a game that they should have won. They was up, and they ended up losing the 2-1 on the bottom of the ninth home run. And then when they played Long Beach State out in the in an elimination game out to Omaha, and the guy hit, it was like 11, they was just going back and forth, and the guy for Long Beach State hit a bottom of the ninth home run that won the game, and that was tough. That was those two losses. Those really hard for me because I knew about Clemson sports through baseball first. Even though I'm a football guy, but it was through baseball first, and I loved it. Baseball. Those two losses, those was hard.
Pat, I appreciate it. That's good stuff. Thanks for the phone call.
All right, as per usual.
Really good, and that one. I mean, that one ran the gamut. We're talking multiple sports. We're talking multiple eras right there. That one ran a gamut. It does go to show that there are a lot more crushing defeats than euphoric wins. Probably says something about our psyche, how we approach these games, too. Let's go to Craig, who's up with us next. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. I So I'm a youngster too. I just graduated from Clemson, I guess, what, 2 weeks ago now.
Well, congratulations. So,
Thank you. It's definitely an honor to be wearing this ring the other way now. But my first ever Clemson game that I traveled to was the Discover Orange Bowl against West Virginia. One of the worst games I've ever been to, and I'll never forget sitting there in the end zone, and my brother, and I'm just begging him. I'm like, can we please just go back to the hotel? And he said, no. He said, we're going to sit here, and we're going to watch every single point that they score against us. And that was the most, like, punishing thing that I ever had to sit through. But I think one of the most scarring games for me was the 2013 South Carolina game, where we had 6 turnovers in that game. We were tied with South Carolina 17-17 going into the fourth quarter, and poor Adam Humphreys muffed 2 punts in that game, and they end up scoring a couple more times. They had a little trick play, and that game scarred me to the point now where, Falk, I can't even breathe whenever we're receiving a punt. I don't even want to put a punt returner back there. It's just not worth it at that point. But still to this day, you know, 6-7 years later, I cannot stand watching Clemson return a punt because I just don't trust them anymore. I had to sit there and watch Adam Humphreys drop 2 of them, and so I just don't trust him anymore. Well, you know, next year he comes out and returns that punt against Louisville in Death Valley. But man, still to this day I'm scarred from that game. It was a terrible defeat. My first ever Clemson South Carolina game, and I had to sit there and watch us give the ball right back to him 6 times.
Craig, I understand. I'd forgotten there were that many turnovers, but I definitely understand the frustration from that game. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Absolutely. You too. Kelly, you weren't at that 2013. Did you go to road games when you were a student?
No, I never had the chance to until grad school. Yeah.
That would have been season.
I remember watching that game in a hotel somewhere. I don't remember where we were.
Thanksgiving tournament?
I remember watching that game in the hotel and just thinking, what is happening?
Let's go to Clemson Dominates. Final phone call this hour of the program. What's up, Clemson Dominates?
Hey, guys. Before I give you mine, I want to give you a trivia question. That's a pretty good one, I think. What do Rutgers, Iowa State, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and NC State all have in common?
Oh, man. I'm going to say it has something to do with conference championship. Not win a conference championship since in the last 20 years. Kelly, what do you think?
I would say it has something to do with haven't won a football conference title in their current conference, maybe?
Actually, they're the only schools out of the Power Five to never go to one of the 5 major bowl games.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Wait, say those again. I mean, say them again for me.
Yeah. So Rutgers, Iowa State, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and NC State. Although I have to give it to NC State. They did go to 7 Peach Bowls, but it wasn't a major bowl back then. But they've got like 17 bowl wins, so they're not exactly a crappy program like the other schools are. But
right,
because those other schools are just no football tradition, no winning, except for, you know, they all had brief periods where they did okay, but they've never been to any of the big bowls. So thought it was a pretty cool trivia question I came up with. And
that's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and then mine, of course, was the punt Ruski, and then Tate George. I hated UConn every game after that. I could never stand them. I still hate them. I mean, although their women's program, I got nothing against Gino and the girls, but, my men's program, I'll never like them. I hated their football program, too, because of it.
Clemson Dominates. Understandable. We appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Cool. Have a good one.
Absolutely. You, too. That was an interesting trivia question you threw out there, too.
Very interesting.
I would not have thought about that. Now, I will give South Carolina a little credit, too. South Carolina has been to 4 Gator Bowls, which, when I was growing up, the Gator Bowl was the second. If you got the second Like, they got second choice. So when Clemson played Michael Vick in the Gator Bowl, when Clemson went to Syracuse, when Clemson played Syracuse in the Gator Bowl, they were the second choice of the ACC, if I remember right. And then the Peach Bowl was third. I know that was at least true for some of it.
Here,
so I give him credit for
here's
some
one,
of that.
A game, a loss that we haven't mentioned from the text line. It's a recent one, Quack. The texter from the 864 says, I recently moved to Durham. My first Clemson game up here was the men's game, men's basketball game at UNC in 2017. We were down by a million at halftime, then made 15 straight field goals to start the second half, then couldn't finish it off. Emotional roller coaster.
That was one where it was over, and then you're going to win it, and then it was over again.
Mm.
That's tough.
And then, of course, this is a great text from the 864. The Ohio State loss burns, .. Oh, wait. So that's a good one.
That's messed up.
Very good, very good.
That's messed up. For all our friends in Hilton Head, that's messed up.
Also, we have a mention of 03 Wake Forest, which was a Bowden bad situation there.
That was right before Florida, right before he saved his job.
Also, Jason in Western North Carolina gets in and says, can't believe nobody has brought up the 22-21 loss on the Fridges' last home game. Oh, someone did bring that up. That was a South Carolina loss. It was like 84.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a texter. We had someone bring that up. That's right.
Yes. Any others that we haven't brought up? We got like 30 seconds till Will Vandenborg's
on the air. Honestly, we've had over 150 texts. I can't.
Whoa!
There's too many. A few texters have brought up 2014 Florida State. So when Jameis was suspended and you had the fumble and really Clemson should have won that game and then you start 1-2. So people have brought that one up.
Sanders got in with that one, and he was like, I can't believe people have...
That was a heartbreaker, too. It really was. Because Jameis wasn't playing, and you're thinking, really? We can't win this one?
Thanks, everybody, for your contributions. Hour 3. Will Vandenborg, I'm sure, can contribute. He's up next.